I felt like the best thing to do today was to just have eye patches on as long as I can.
So the first thing we said before we started recording was, I said, I look insane. And then I looked at Christy and I went, oh, you look insane. So it's like, am I insane? I have what I would describe as like, maybe like, if we want to go Middle Earth, a little Middle Earth cape.
Is it like a heated cape you're wearing?
It sure is, yeah.
Where did you get that?
Look, I have so many like do not remove tags just like hanging off my body right now. Where did I get Santa Claus? I also have a heat pad in my lap. I'm not doing well. And I love that I have, I mean, I do wear a series of like 3 sweatshirts all year round. But I do love that I have my Appalachian straw. I feel like I'm telling a story right now. In fact, Appalachia is not strong. We are weak.
Appalachia is falling apart.
Appalachia is falling apart. Like, can we get you out of a ditch? Yes. Can we drink some beers with you? Yes. But don't make it below 30. That's when Appalachia's like, well, I feel like someone's calling. I've got to go.
It's so funny because like some of my students are from northern states. Mm. And so every time I've been like, guys, it's kind of cold. And they're like, well, it's -4 in New York. And I'm like, okay, but I didn't bring my warm sweaters to this state. They're all back in Colorado. So like, this is not working for me.
I never owned any. But it was really funny because I sent a – so Charlotte is very transplant heavy.
Yeah. St. Peter's too.
Did you hear what? Salem. Baby, I'm right here.
Everyone is struggling. The animals
I
are
feel
like
– everyone's struggling. I feel like
– I mean
– So we go to a particular dog bar here in Charlotte, and it's hilarious to see people walk in. Because you know immediately who's from where. And, like, all these Bills fans are like, well, I'm going to put my – no, you don't have to put your Bills stuff on. We know based on your jacket that you're from upstate New York. Because all the Southerners have just piled on normal clothes in piles.
In piles.
So we just have, like, 5 sweaters on.
You're like – Joey just wearing all of the clothes.
Yeah, we're Joey from Friends. And then the sock situation is hilarious because you get these people, these with, let's say, Buffalo Bills, and they have these boots, like real life boots.
Mm-hmm. Real life boots. Leah, you lived in Scotland.
I had wellies. I didn't have like real life boots. I mean, like snow.
Yeah.
And then all the Southerners have their trainers, tennis shoes on, with just 50 layers of socks on. Including me. Should be noted. I am them. So,
Leah's fully part of that.
It's cold down here, guys. It's cold. My friend sent a thing from New Orleans that I sent you.
New Orleans has snow. You know where else has multiple inches is the beach in Pensacola, Florida.
Pensacola,
Florida beach has multiple inches of snow. I saw a post on Instagram. One of the people that I follow put a picture up of like the literal beach. Like there's the ocean, there's the sand, and also several inches of snow on it. It's weird.
There's a guy I know who's from Massachusetts, and he came up to me and he was like, you know what? I feel like I got tricked. Like, that's not why I came down here. I feel like I was like, and I went, I'm going to stop you right there. I'm going to stop you because you know what? Oh God, Salem's trying to get in the cabinet. That's why we have the child box on. When he feels feelings, he has to go in a cabinet. He's not like Beethoven where he'll like, just tear stuff apart. Like he just needs to go and sit with his thoughts.
He needs to go hide.
Don't we all, Salem? Don't we all?
I get it.
Anyway, so he was like, you know, I just feel hoodwinked and blah. And I was like, go back. Just go back then. if you feel hoodwinked, I felt like such a conservative.
You're like, go back.
Just go back.
I mean, to be fair, like,
we aren't ready either. We didn't know this was going
to
happen.
Yeah, you didn't either. To be fair, like, it will not be cold for multiple months like it is wherever, like, from in Massachusetts, you know, like, this is going to last for a few days, couple weeks maybe, and then it will be back to being normal southern weather.
It's already supposed to be, well, in North Carolina anyway, it's supposed to be like 60 next week, and I was like, oh, okay.
Like, in Massachusetts, it's going to be cold for like 3 more months at least.
I know. I talked to a girl from Minnesota at the dog bar, and I was like, she was like, these people don't understand. Because I was sort of making the same complaint.
Yeah.
And I feel like you really need to get some really cold weather people to get it who've moved here. Because most of them are like upstate New York or Ohio. And they're like, it's cold. But then the Minnesota girl was like, no. It's like, she's been through it. She's like,
she's like, you don't know.
She's been in the trenches. She's like, this is nothing.
Do you know, my mom told me once, so my mom, when she moved from Ohio to Colorado, the first place that she lived in was this mountain town called Gunnison. And Gunnison is the coldest town in Colorado because of where it's located. Like, it has just the worst winter weather. And so they had to plug their cars in to heat them up. Like, these are not electric vehicles because she moved in the 70s. Like, they had to heat them up so that they would even start. Because it was so cold, like, the car stuff would freeze.
How do you plug a not electric car up?
I have no idea, but they have to do this. They have to do this in Canada and, like, probably in Minnesota. Like, all of these places that get really, really cold, like, they plug their cars in to heat them up.
But, Christy, to what?
I don't know.
With what?
I don't know.
Do they all have tails? What's happening? I don't get it. My car has a Hyundai Elantra and it doesn't have a plug.
All of our northern friends, can you please explain to us?
Please help. Christy just traded in her Colorado card and I just am still me. So
we never had to do this. This was like Gunnison had to do this. I didn't have to do this in Colorado Springs. It doesn't get that cold. Denver does not get that cold.
Christine Whaley.
It doesn't. Not that cold where you can't start your car. I've never had to do that.
Well, it's cold enough to fall down, and we both know that.
It is cold enough to form ice that you and I can't walk on.
Don't do that. I got my trusty God Pods return.
Oh. God
Pod, which, by the way, as I just put this up, I realized that this is clearly not mine because someone else's name is on the bottom. It says Derek, look tag. Heck? Derek, if your last name starts with an L.
Derek you. L. Leah stole your cup.
I did. Not on purpose. Most of the time I just drank stuff people gave me, which sounds incredibly dangerous, and don't do that anymore. But at beer camp, maybe. So someone clearly gave me your cup, and I'm sorry, but if you come up to me and you prove with the government-issued ID that you are, in fact, Derek L., that looks vaguely like the fact. Then I'll give it back to you.
All right.
Oh, your voice just went really weird on that. I don't know what you were talking into that now you're not.
Well, it's because I was moving the computer because of computer things and whatnot.
That's all you have.
I didn't get to keep my God Pod cups.
Well, because, mine's probably with yours.
Well, because I maybe Derek only had that. Yours. I had that little backpack, and so I couldn't keep anything that wasn't, like,
Christy,
essential.
I had a packed bag. Why didn't you just give it to me? And I would have brought it back.
I don't know.
I don't either, because we even went to the airport together.
I know.
You saw me give that man that little bag.
I just, like, sadly threw them away. I was like, I don't know what to do with these.
Because I had to take back the whole of the hot wing sauce. I definitely could have stuffed your cup.
I know. You could have. Like, I was really sad about it, too. I was like, oh. Well, my cup.
I mean, no. My one.
I don't know why that never occurred to me.
Of a certain credit card, is I get to have a check bag for beer camp. It's like my only worth in this world. So guys, welcome to Theology on the Rocks. It's Christy and Leah back.
Hello, we're here. Thought Theology, it's the newest of New Year's. Happy New Year. It's the most recent shit show of a year.
We're back in another shit show of a year.
we're here. We're
barely in. And Christy and I both decided to do Dry January, which, come to find out, based
on... Worst idea.
Literally, based on everything, we have regretted a lot. Except for our health, which... was great. We are feeling better. I went to the doctor and got good news about my old body, and so we feel good about it.
I don't regret doing it. I feel like it was the right decision for the reasons that I decided to do it. Mm. And simultaneously, I hate it.
Yeah.
Because like, what a January to decide to do this.
Because we had sports, the longest college football season of my life.
I mean, the longest college football season ever. Not even like jokingly, it just is.
It just went on and on, and then it was here, and then we also have...
But speaking of, this is my Ohio State cup that I am drinking out of.
Oh yeah, I don't know if you've heard.
Because cheers to... National champions, baby.
Christy, did you know, like, you're now, like, really hated? It's, like, a thing.
Now? We were so hated before. Nobody likes Ohio State fans.
I'm saying this. Okay, you get to toss me around in the NFL world. I'm going to tell you, yes, of course. But if you look at, like, who's won the national championship, Ohio State's actually
The Ohio State. Yes, thank you.
Y'all. So annoying. Anyway, so y'all are like the only ones in the midst of a bunch of SEC teams that have even gotten close to winning as many national championships.
It is true. I also want to point out,
I should say, because you got like the Yales and all of that.
I want to point out that the Ohio State was the one to win when they first changed to the 10 years ago when they changed the CFP, like the championship playoff thing. They made that change, Ohio State won. And then they made a change again this year, and Ohio State won. And I was like, I think it's just like...
What playoff before this playoff?
It was whatever. I can't remember exactly, but it was whatever they were doing last year.
Oh, no. The first time they had a national championship. Like where it was.
Yeah,
like,
some kind of like the first time they did blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Was Ohio State.
Just like the Fiesta Bowl was like... They won.
The big thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Anyway, it was like, anyway. I just think it's funny. It was just funny that we won then and then
funny
we won again.
Funny mama or funny yay for you?
Both.
Let's change it again next year.
We'll win again when they change the rules in 10 years. It's fine.
I am pretty active on not just SEC, Big Ten blogs and generals. I'd say ACC. Those are the three conferences that I keep up with.
Yeah.
And then if the Pac-12, if USC decides to get good again, I'm going to be real sad again. But if they just stay the way they are, then it's okay. Actually, I think USC left, didn't they? They went to the Big Ten.
I honestly don't know. You follow college football more than I do.
Well, those are the three I keep up with. And there was chat about Ohio State, sort of like there's chat about, like, once we get to that peak, there's a little bit of ice up there, but like we're not going to really think about it till we get to the peak.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But like, so the ice was always there, but now it's like, you know, you see that mountain? You know what? We hate that mountain. We want to burn the mountain to the ground.
We want to burn the mountain down. Yeah.
We don't care if there's ice at the top. And I realized you have to have an enemy. And now that
Ohio State's the enemy.
Saban's
gone. It's so funny because I feel like so we lost to that team up north this year again, which was very upsetting.
I'm sorry, I think it's Michigan, is it?
Or no, we don't.
U of M for folks in that world.
We don't say that. So we lost to them, and when we lost to them, my algorithm basically was giving me a lot of like Ohio State fan posts, like complaining about it and all of that kind of stuff. But I wasn't seeing anything from the other side of it or from outside perspectives, which I feel like I get sometimes. But since we won the championship, since what day was that? Monday? God, it feels like a year ago.
I'm
already. I have been getting inundated with Michigan fan posts being like, they're not legitimate champions because we beat them. And I'm like, what in the actual? Why is this what I'm getting now?
I think Michigan has formed a campaign against you, but I think it has spread.
They hated us. I mean, they're our biggest rival. Their biggest rival. Like that. But I get that. Why is it happening to my algorithm right now? It is not what I want to see.
Well, so the message that we're getting down here in the ACC, I would argue, is that NIL money. It's not because we don't have the rivalry. So like people are like, oh, Michigan. We're like, we don't care. The Yankees fight it out in the snow.
Yeah.
I don't care. But the money, that I've seen a lot about that $20 million, which we spent money to, but y'all, and you know who spent them? You didn't spend the most money, actually. I looked it up. Texas did.
Texas spent the most money? Okay. I was wondering. I was wondering who spent the most, but I wasn't wondering enough to bother. I'm glad you looked it up.
Well, I mean, I looked up how much, and then we were like number 5 or 6, but like the disparity was quite large. So it's a new world. We're going to have to figure that out. But that the sort of stuff that I'm getting is, I think I sent you the video with the cars, is the Ohio State being like, we won! And everyone being like, that's kind of the stuff I'm getting. But also, everyone needs an enemy. So congrats.
It's fine. We can do that for you for the next year.
Well, we didn't even make it that far.
I don't think Georgia fans care.
I was like, right now we just want a quarterback that's not dead. If the quarterback is like Weekend at Bernie's and we can prop him up, that's what we want. That doesn't come out with his arm like, I got this, guys.
Oh my gosh, you
have one job and this is really gonna prevent it. So the fact that no one knew he was going to hand that ball off. I'm like, he could have. We're talking about against Texas. It's like in the SEC championship. Carson Beck comes out with an arm that's like just dead at his side. And I was like, oh, no, 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 no. And then I was like, Stuart, what is he going to do? And he goes, well, he's not going to throw it. That is Stuart Gibb from Scotland and me in an armchair. The fact they were like, oh god, he gave it to someone to run. I'm like,
of course. But can we just like put out there our concern for Will Howard and the alien coming out of his hand? Because I haven't.
This will be the last football chat, guys. But also, I know.
Sorry.
No, it's not. I mean, I was most of that. I was mostly correcting myself. Will Howard, who I didn't know who that person was, which should show you I don't have a deep hatred yet. I didn't until they showed his hand.
His hand? In a golf ball sized. They kept calling it a knot, and I was like, that is a living creature about to birth from his hand.
And they're like, it shouldn't affect anything. How did it? Through the Carson Beck flop arm. I was like, I think you guys are not understanding what quarterbacks do.
As just a human being who feels, concerned about, I saw that thing and I wanted to throw up everywhere because it was gross. But I also was just like, somebody help that man. Like that is not.
And I was texting Christy because I need someone to talk to. And like, I was like, and this, I knew that she would know that it wasn't just my dislike of anyone not Georgia, because I was like, dear Jesus, what's happening to that man's hand?
Simultaneously, I think you and I texted almost simultaneously. You were like, what happened to that man's hand? And I was like, oh my God, his hand.
And they were like, no big deal. I was
no big deal. I was like, no.
Apparently quarterbacks can use their feet these days. I don't know. I was like, I mean, it seems like y'all get paid the big bucks, though, whatever. So,
horrifying. Anyway,
football season is over. Well, college football season.
College is over. The NFL.
I've been in a lot of chat that, like, we can't compete with the NFL playoffs. Agree. And that a lot of people who love college football are saying we need to adjust the timeline. It felt like, as a Georgia fan to my core, and all of you guys know this, I forgot we were playing and when And we were in a bye, yay.
You petered out, like your attention span petered out. I noticed that. I was like,
yeah, it did.
It wasn't so bad for me because I'm used to the NFL, which is longer. So yeah. Like it felt not weird, but it was long. But it's weird because the NFL has gotten longer because they added a week onto the regular season and everything just feels very long right now. But I also think that January has lasted for 7 years.
We've been in January for long. I think with college, I think you're right. I think you're exactly right, actually, is I think you got trained in the NFL. Now I'm getting really hot. Is, and with college football, it's Saturday, 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 Saturday bowls. Because they're like 18 years old, so they can do that. And it's, you know, no offense. I'm sure some of them struggle. I'm sweating. Okay,
so he has taken off the heated cape.
Taken off the heated cape. Don't have to laugh on it.
It is so cold.
It's so, Chris, you're in Florida though. It can't be as cold. It still hasn't hit above freezing yet here.
I mean, it's not temperature wise, but it is in terms of like how I feel. I feel like, you know, when you're, and this is also a little bit probably just my house, but like, you know, when you lived in Scotland. And you would be at home and you would still just kind of like feel your bones were cold.
Yeah.
And you had to like have all the heated blankets on. And this is why they use those stupid hot water bottles and stuff. It's because you're just like, I have to warm up somehow and I don't know what to do because it's not just like inherently warm in my house. And that is what's happening right now. It's like there's like a draft from the window.
Yeah.
And then like my heat. It's not like I'm not normally
is it Florida though, like 40s.
It's in the 40s. So it's just like in my bones cold.
Hashtag pray for Christy.
It's in my bones cold and I can't get warm. I've been wearing everywhere I go. I've been wearing my wool cardigan that I got in Glasgow from the vintage shop. Oh, like I've fully gone back into my Glasgow self in terms of outfits. My students were like, this is your fault because you told us Florida is too hot. And I was like,
this is your fault.
This is true.
Christy, so, this is all your fault.
Everything is my fault.
This is Ohio State won.
Ohio State won the natty and everything is my fault.
Just ask the internet. The internet agrees. So
that is the sum total.
I will say this will truly be my last. Georgia fans are so defeated. We're like your Broncos fans. So you were like, I'll explain it one day. You can, but I get it. Like years of disappointment and being almost. The thing is, if you're real bad, like Atlanta, there's no pressure, right? So like,
right. You've like, been bad for a long, long time.
We've been bad for maybe ever. And so there's.
You went to the Super Bowl in the 90s.
Oh, well, we
and were, more recently.
And
but
more recently, RIP. But we've never won.
We've not won, no.
We've not won. So, like, for that, it's always good. Like, if we make it, I'm like, oh, bless. And so there's a lot less pressure. But to have two teams that are, like, you have the Broncos and I couldn't do two. I can't. I need to not have to. Because, like, when Atlanta lost to Charlotte, I was like, well, that's kind of hilarious, isn't it?
I will say, I mean, like, and you know this, my loyalty is much stronger to the Broncos. And so, like, if it was an either or, like, if you were to be like, either the Broncos can win the Super Bowl or Ohio State can win the national championship, I'd be like, Super Bowl, 100%. I wouldn't have to think about it.
I thought the Super Bowl was this Saturday, guys.
It's February 9th.
Because
we're all praying deeply that it's not the Chiefs.
I was like,
yeah.
Stuart, well, at least Super Bowl. He was like, baby, Super Bowl's not this weekend.
It's not, no.
How are we still?
It's still happening.
Going? This is still.
But happening. I will say that having Ohio State win the national championship the same year that the Broncos got back to the playoffs finally has been weird for my emotions because I am so much more excited about the Broncos.
Guys, I know that most of you are not here for the football, so I'm gonna cut it. But if you meet me in real life, please, for the love of our shared connection to a higher power, come up to me and ask me about Christy's reaction to Ohio State, who we've talked about, getting into the playoffs of the college football. She wasn't excited.
I was not
sitting here having to evangelize her for her team.
I was like, it's fine. They usually do. Whatever.
It's never existed. They usually don't because no one has.
Well, like they usually go to a bowl game. Like
everyone goes to a bowl game.
There's it just like, didn't feel like that big of a deal because I feel like Ohio State Music
City Bowl.
Ohio State's like usually up, you know, in the top 10. So I just, but because again, it's football mindset. NFL versus college is so different because I'm like, Ohio State is always in the playoffs.
I have a whole pullover. I was like, Christy, it hurts my soul to have to do this.
But I literally cried. You
need to get fired up.
I cried multiple times during the week leading up to the Broncos playoff game. Cried. I was watching videos nonstop of
they
like.
They didn't even make it past like the first round.
No, they didn't. And no, I never thought they were going to win that game. We were playing the Bills. That was not going to happen. But like, I was so emotional that whole week. It was a trip. So my emotions have been all over the place in terms of football.
Well, that's a good thing we're not drinking, right?
Good Lord. What if I was drunk during all of that? That would have been
super exciting.
Somebody would have been entertained.
Christy has, speaking of drinks, so Christy has what I'm assuming is soda because she's gone on a real soda kick these days.
I hate soda, but I don't know what else to do. This is actually Arizona iced tea. It's green blueberry iced tea and it's really good. And it's my like new favorite thing.
As a Southerner, I'm saying that. Just Google Southerners and Arizona iced tea.
I don't care. Sweet tea is too much. I used to love it, but I can't anymore.
It actually is not to do with sweetness.
Well, but Arizona iced tea is so good. And also, it's so cheap. And that CEO is like, yeah, we make a profit and we don't need any more, so we're not going to raise the price. And I'm here for it.
Okay, well, that's fine. Then don't Google it. I suggest I have been doing other things, but most just some seltzers here and there since it's just
some non-alcoholic seltzers.
Non-alcoholic seltzers, just on my journey.
It is an interesting experience because, like, most of the time I only have water all day, and then I have a glass of wine. Right?
So, yeah, I'm not a day drinker. I mean, we have jobs. Yes. Which
I mean, yeah, obviously we have jobs. They don't let me drink. But like, you know, I'll drink water all day long, coffee, obviously, water, and then at night I'll be like, okay, time for my glass of wine. Have my glass of wine and go to bed. All of January, all day long, I'm like, well, I can't have wine, so I guess what else can I have? Like, I've been drinking wine all day or something. Like, I'm replacing water most of the time, but I just keep being like, well, I can't have wine, so I guess here at 2 p.m. I'm going to have a root beer.
I think I'll speak for myself. I think for me it's more the idea of, like, not being able to have it. Like, the forbidden nature of it. And because what I have been doing is today, Stuart... I came to Stuart and he had a snow day, ha ha ha. And I was like, hey, so here's this thing. I'm having trouble with, actually, I pulled you about the same issue. And I was just like, I'm having issues. I need advice. I just need the two people I trust to give me advice on this subject and blah, 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 blah. And he was like, he actually looked at me and he was like, I don't actually understand. Now, this is a man who has been with me for over a decade. He was like, Lee, I don't actually get what you're talking about. And I was like, no, I've told you this story. The story is da 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 da. And like, what am I supposed to do? And I'm talking like, I have snorted cocaine off of a table, which I haven't. Algorithm. And I was just like, not. So I'm just jacked up on caffeine now.
Yeah, I haven't been. This is the worst part is that I'm sleeping terribly.
Same.
Because I'm drinking so much stupid soda all day long and I can't stop drinking the stupid soda and then I can't sleep at all. I can't wait for dry January to be over so that I can like get back to my functional self, honestly.
Well, all you people who did do dry January for your health, we applaud you. We support you.
Yeah. You know, like,
get well.
Like I said, there were reasons that I did it and I'm glad that I did it. I'm going to finish it out, but like,
I got blood work done that told me that I definitely was doing better not having alcohol. So I, even in the amounts that I had, so you are doing right by your body. It's just, it's the 22nd. I thought we're talking like the 22nd.
Also, to get into the more serious aspects of the podcast, but it has been a really stressful month. Mm-hmm. I think leading up to the inauguration, everybody was on edge and there was a lot of stuff going on. And then Monday, I stayed off of social media until the Ohio State game. Leah's holding up.
I got a "This is fine" with the little dog with
in the fire.
And now I just love it because I have two things on my desk. One is this.
one is the bulldog.
That's like a, I have a friend that I'm in AAR Southeast and he works at UGA and he just brings me stuff that he usually uses to get people to go to Georgia, but he'll just give it to me.
He's like, you love Georgia.
He's like, just take the dog. And then there's the dog with the flames and the coffee cup that says, "This is fine." And I got it and I said, "What does it do?" And Stuart was like, "What do you mean?" I was like, "Does it do anything?" And he was like, "No, it's just for your desk." And I was like, yeah.
That's funny.
So this is
funny. One of my coworkers one time gave me, it was a little Marie Antoinette doll.
Oh.
And her head popped off and it was hilarious.
Mark, helpful.
But yeah, I feel like there's been a lot of anxiety and stress and all leading up. And then obviously Monday, I stayed off social media until the game started because I knew it was going to be bad. I didn't want to watch anything. I just kind of was like, I'm not going to give any attention to this until I absolutely have to. And then when I got on and I had seen it was so much worse than I think I was anticipating. And it just, it's been a strange, because you know bad stuff is coming, but then the bad stuff comes and you're still hit like, this is horrible. I mean, obviously doing certain kinds of salutes on stage during the presidential.
He was a Nazi salute.
I mean, it makes me so angry I can't even talk about it. Yeah. functionally. This is something I never thought that, I mean, growing up, you just know Nazis are bad. Mm-hmm. You think everyone agrees with you that Nazis are bad. And I know that we've been getting closer and closer to this, but to see it happen and then to see all of the gaslighting that's come along with it, of people being like, no, I saw a bunch of people were like, he was throwing his heart out to the crowd. And I was like, that's not how a human does that.
Or comparing it to Hillary and Kamala, who did similar motions. And my argument to that too, is if you think that really happened, which if you watch the video, you can watch the video, don't just look at the pictures, and watch the video of Elon Musk as well. I suggest, even if they did, okay, we'll get mad at that.
Yeah, get mad at that. Or
you should be outraged then and call them out and make them say something about it.
Yeah.
So
Say they did it, so he should be allowed to do it. Also, right. It just feels like even if in the most generous take, right, is to say that he did this very awkward gesture, but he didn't mean to, even in that instance, it should still be a problem and we should still be mad and he should still have to apologize and there should still be consequences to it, because it is a significant
gesture. Logic that's being used as well, you guys did it too, i.e. Democrats did too. That's actually, I don't think, very sound logic in the sense of outrage. So-and-so did whatever, and it wasn't just about the salute, it was about other things. Okay, well then get mad at it. Get as mad and flood, because when these speeches were made, that don't just proof text that also the other side did it. Get mad in the instance that it happened.
And say, hey, look, this is happening. We should be mad about this. Okay, we should. We should be mad anytime any kind of form of Nazism or bigotry, anytime any of that happens, racism, all of it should always be called out and we should always be mad about it. That is just true. Whether it's a person that we like or a person that we hate, we should always be mad about this. And we should say there are things that disqualify you from being a leader in many things, but certainly the country. And one of those things is to be flippant about doing stuff that is at the very least, and like I said, at the most generous take of it, is signaling to neo-Nazis that they have a place in the country, right?
Right. And they
because
don't.
Ultimately, so they're saying he did it.
Fuck them 100%.
Yeah, like the neo-Nazis are saying, oh, look, he did this. We're so excited. We're coming back. Like they're excited about it. That should be a problem.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, my approach to it was I went to some MLK events. I avoided it. I didn't want to give any ratings. I didn't necessarily avoid the content, but I needed to be able to take it in a consumable way and not just like watch the full thing. I think I needed to be able to be like, okay, here's that thing. Here's that thing. Here's this. Like I needed that for my own sanity, but also to be able to evaluate it and be like, okay, am I getting mad? Like, are my cousins in Georgia going to be as mad about this as I am right now? And I think, like, because I think to not take into account, like, the other part of the country is a mistake, a big mistake. Because I think you don't have to justify it. I'm not saying justify it. I'm not saying not be super angry. But I feel like we have to understand it. Like, if you don't understand. Because there's a lot of people
that
are super excited and think, like, literally, I've heard two statements from people's, these are kind of quotes from people's parents that I've already told you, which is that the Trump supporters are the new punk rockers, and that we are, the other person's parents said that we're at the peak of the UN.
I understand where you're coming from with that, but I don't really agree. Mainly because I think we do understand. I think we've given a lot of time to understanding what they believe or how they've gotten to these places. I don't think that the average person is putting like really intense, like critical thought into everything that happens, right? Like Musk does the Nazi salute on stage and then the person who says, oh, it wasn't a Nazi salute, he was throwing his heart out, isn't like sitting with it and saying, why do I feel this? And blah, blah, blah. I don't think there's that much thought going into their reactions. And similarly, like my reaction, and I will be honest, is just immediately like, that's terrible. That's a Nazi salute. We should hate it, right? But what I do think is that the root cause of not just the division and everything, but also the idea that we're at a place in the United States where a man could give a Nazi salute on stage at the inauguration, and we're even having to debate whether or not it's a bad thing, is that we've lost the ability to see how manipulated we are, you know? And I think personally that one side is being manipulated considerably more than the other side, or at least, you know, there's a ton of manipulation going on with Trump because he surrounds himself during the election with everyday people saying he's going to lower the price of eggs. He's going to help the economy. He's going to do this and that, right? But then who is in the front row at his inauguration? It's all billionaires, right? It's not.
That's who those kind of poor people look up to. That's like, who they want to see on the front row.
But like, he's not following through. He's not doing the things that they're saying, I didn't vote for Kamala because the eggs are the economy, blah, blah, blah. But then ultimately, like, that's not even Trump's goal. There's been communication that's going to get fixed. And then his immediate actions on the day are pardoning the January 6th people, talking about tariffs, which is just going to make all of our prices go up. Like, I mean, it's just.
But Biden ran on student loans and he didn't do that. At all.
He tried, though. I mean, the Supreme Court blocked
it. Eventually,
I mean, there's always stuff that they're going to run on that they're not going to follow through with. But it's the blatantness of we know, we already know, because Trump has already been president. We already know he's not going to follow through on fighting for the working class. He didn't do it the first time. He's not going to do it this time either. So it's not
but I
so
think
much
that's understanding
that, like,
why they're voting. I think that that's not why they voted for him. I mean, that may be what they said, but like, I don't think.
Well,
I
and
think
then,
there's an
and then I would say, like,
ideology that he represents that I think we overestimate our fellow human.
And but then I would say, like, if you're really not voting for him for the economy, if you're really voting for him because of this ideology, and I am saying that that ideology is a problem, then we need to be able to have a conversation about that kind of stuff. We can't just say, I need to understand where you're coming from. Like, we need to be able to critically look and say, hey, this is swinging towards fascism.
Yeah.
And we have to call it out. We can't just be like, well,
that's kind of what I was talking about in terms of understanding where they're coming from, is not understanding like the PR reasons they're going to say, but like, you know, being like, are you really, do you want the economy to be better? Or are you really racist? Those are actually, people are going to be like, oh, the economy.
And that's the thing. They're going to say, oh, no, it's the economy. Or he fights for the working class or something that's just blatantly untrue. But then when Elon Musk does a Nazi salute on stage, we need to be able to say with our whole chest, hey, that's wrong. And he shouldn't be allowed to be there.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't have to debate it. You know, I think that's where I'm just kind of like, I don't.
I agree with you,
Chris. Yeah. It makes me so angry to see people that I love trying to like reason away being mad about something that I feel like my grandpa fought in World War II. If he was alive right now and saw that, like I can't stop picturing the look that would have been on his face. Okay. You know, like
my grandpas were in World War II. Yeah, it would have been an insane thing. And also, my step-grandfather and grandfather. But then my actual grandfather was in Korea, which was the same ideas.
Well, yeah.
Same idea. Not a Hitler, but a socialist communist.
Yeah. And for all of it, too, like, I don't know. Like I said, I feel like there's obviously coming out of the perspectives that you and I are coming out of, there's different perspectives. There's different understandings of connections to these things. But like, I get that America has not always been the perfect America that I used to think it was. Mm-hmm. There's always been these problems. And it's just like, it's gotten so down the rabbit hole that I'm like, what?
But when you start to look at the numbers, you have to, this is maybe a point too that I'm trying to make. When you look at the numbers of who voted for him, that's a, what is, who is America? Maybe we aren't America anymore.
You know, I saw their like latest percentages, and more people didn't vote than voted for, like it's like 33% voted for Trump and 32% for Kamala or something, like it's pretty close. But then it was like 36% just didn't vote. And I was like, that blows my mind. Like,
well, maybe that is voting America.
Yeah, I mean, that's still a choice. That's still a statement. And that's the one that I think I'm more like, okay, so what are you doing or saying that
is getting them to vote for you? Yeah, I mean, and I think that I do think it is important because we want to fight it, but we can't, I think if we want to fight it, we can't fight it from the way we're fighting it. We can't say that Elon Musk did not. Yeah, viscerally, that should be, or even like at a very kindergarten level, that should be what don't like. But
we
that's,
don't like it.
But it's not, I don't think it's how people are thinking. And when you say that, well, then all of a sudden stuff surfaces. Like I saw on my Facebook a thing where Kamala was talking about, you know, where the heck did they get that the transgender surgeries were going to happen in jail? Well, I can tell you, it's this interview with Kamala Harris where they ask about healthcare in jail. And she says, yes, people should get full coverage. And the interviewer says something about even X, Y, and Z. And she was like, full coverage. People in jail should have whatever. All of a sudden it sparks a thing. Well, in my head, I was like, and honestly, did she say it? kind of, I mean, she didn't say the sentences that came out of these people's mouths about it, because those were inflammatory. But I mean, she knew where, what trail, I believe she knew what trail this was going down. And she definitely didn't like stop it, you know, like, and be like, no, that's, you know, blah, blah. Because it's a slippery slope argument, is that, okay, well, they can't do this. Well, they then, you know, yeah. I can see why she did what she did. Point being,
I do think having,
I ignored that because I didn't want to hear that.
Yeah. I do think having a better, I think we need to do a lot better at teaching media literacy. Because I saw those commercials when I was at my parents' over the summer. And like, when I'm watching those commercials, it's unbelievably clear how spliced stuff was.
Oh, yeah.
So you can tell that that's not actually what she had said, that they'd cut stuff up. Right. But my parents don't know that, you know?
Right. I agree but with also, that 100%.
Like, it's not just an age thing. I think there are a lot of people who don't know that because they haven't, like, the only reason that I know how to look out for that kind of stuff is because I used to be very obsessed with this blog that was like a backstage or an insider look at The Bachelor and how they edit The Bachelor. That, like, yes. That is literally why I know these things is because I used to be very into The Bachelor. Mm-hmm. So it's not a normal thing to know. Like, it's not just everyone's going to know this. It's also not even like an intelligent thing to know.
No, and it's why they use the cups on Love is Blind.
It's why they use those cups, is so that you don't know how much is being used. So, like, there are ways that you know things, but only if you're in this incredibly, like, weird niche part of the television world where you're, like, obsessed with reality TV or whatever. They're
splicing together different scenes where your wine is going up and down, so they put them in covered glasses so that you can't tell when they're splicing two completely separate conversations together.
It was one of the
quite smart.
Yeah. I mean, it is one of the former bachelor contestants. She was on years and years ago, but she had a blog and she would basically blog her way through the seasons. And she would actually put up audio clips and say, listen at like second 23 and you can hear the cut, you know? And so, like I said, like, that's how I learned how to hear these things.
Yeah.
That's,
they would also film to like those initial nights. I had a moment with Bachelorette. You can talk about that if you're looking up to. But they would, that's why those shoots would go to like 2 and 3 in the morning, because they had to have the same outfits and the same hair.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to piece together all these combos.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's, I mean, there's just an incredible amount that they can do. And now, especially with AI and everything, like, we're getting so deep into the woods of not being able to tell what's real, you know, like, what is a real thing that happened or was said or whatever. And if we don't have a good sense of that, or a good sense of how to look for things, and that's where that manipulation comes in too, is like, you're going to keep getting manipulated on all sides. Democrats are doing it.
Yep.
I just think they're doing it much worse. Like, they're not as good at it.
No, they're not. Democrats are so GD smart. Why do they lose so GD often?
Well, and it's like they're trying so hard to be like, let me explain to you my academic paper about this policy. But like, most people don't want that. They want, because we have a 2-second attention span as a
country. Well, it's like the churches. Country. Do you want a church that's going to like tell you a sermon and give you intel? Or do you want to feel that feeling?
Mm-hmm. Do you want those music notes to hit at the right place so that you are feeling the spirit? Like,
and I think for the past like decade, we've been banking on that book knowledge and not understanding that people want to feel a feeling. And I think we got a window of it in Obama, because Obama was so smart.
Because Obama is so charismatic.
We didn't realize though that was the Democrats got the brain. But people who are maybe independent or undecided got the good feeling.
I mean, do you remember when Obama used to do slow jazzing the news with Jimmy Fallon?
No, I don't, but I want to see it.
It was during his presidency. He would get on Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon would like sing slow jazz. It was, I'm trying to remember exactly, but it was the two of them. And like, that was the kind of brilliant stuff that he did that made him, I mean,
that's still the thing that, oh gosh. I mean, I think that's kind of what I wanted to say, is like, I'm not trying to be like, look at the Nazis from a 360 perspective. No, fuck them. I don't care. It's not that. It's more that I want to win. And so I'm trying to figure out how we get people back in. And
yeah, I what do we do?
Obama is not a good example of what we need in the next go round. Is like, we don't need Weekend at Bernie's. We don't need, you know,
we don't need Weekend at Bernie's. I think too, like,
we need someone that's trying to match that sort of charisma that honestly Trump has with some people. Like,
I think they tried too hard with like the celebrities and stuff with Kamala too, because there is a massive increasing disconnect. Like, people don't want, I don't care who celebrities are voting for. I want to know if this is going to affect my life, you know? And
but weirdly, the Republicans are okay with like their version of celebrity, which is billionaires. And that, so that's a little bit of a disconnect in my brain.
Yeah, that I just don't get the like idea that these billionaires are somehow brilliant and smart. And
there's, I saw someone say like, who cares who George Clooney is voting for? And then it's like, but here's Elon Musk. And I'm like, what do you mean?
Elon Musk. I infinitely care more about who George Clooney is voting for than Elon Musk. Like, I'm just going to.
I'm wondering if it's not because of the perceived intelligence of like businessy stuff as opposed to like entertainment, which they already see as being sort of like.
I also feel like the businessy thing, I heard from a lot of people still, which blows my mind, because again, we've been through this, we know it's not real, but like, well, Trump's a businessman, so he's gonna fix things because he's a businessman. And I'm like, why do we think business people are so smart? This is not a thing I understand.
Well, the first thing that I saw that like personally affected us was they got rid of the cap on insulin.
They got rid of the what?
The price cap on insulin.
I know. So immediately insulin
it for a while it had been $35 was a cap. Now here's an interesting thing that I think says a lot about the Republican Party. Stewart actually had to pay more for insulin under that $35 cap, and the reason behind it was because his insurance was so good, because he works for a fill in the blank bank, that his insulin was lower than $35. People on Medicare and Medicaid, that's going to destroy them. Like, people who don't have insurance at all. Like, keep in mind, insulin is what keeps you alive.
It keeps you alive. The idea that we should take away a cap on insulin is just cruel.
So cruel.
But it's also, like, it's the amount of screwing over of old people that was immediately day one, Monday, was like, here, all of these drug prices are going to go up. Medicaid and Medicare are going to suck more. We're going to completely destroy Social Security. Like, the old people, I'm like,
It wasn't,
it's like COVID all over again. Like,
it wasn't just insulin, but I think if you do a comparative, who won in that situation and who lost? Well, I would say as a human being, the poor and the old people lost. As a seemingly the narrative Trump's putting forth is that Stewart won.
Right? Yeah. Like,
he works at this job at the bank and he has good insurance. Well, now you don't have to pay that cap anymore. You pay what your insurance pays, which, by the way, could be anything now.
It could be anything.
It was before this that he was paying less than 35. Yeah. And then he bumped it up. But you know what? Because he's been in the system, he didn't care about, I think it was like $5. So 35 gets everyone capped. He was cool with it.
Yeah, of course. Well, I mean, that's how I feel. Like, if we could all have health insurance and we all, like, everybody, job or no job, whatever, and I have to pay a little bit more than I'm paying right now, sure. But now we all have it and we don't have to worry about all of this nonsense, because ultimately someday that might affect me too. But, like, also I just have empathy and I care about people who aren't myself. But, like, because I've been – I know it's a shocker, because I've been on a variety. Like, I've had to have private insurance when I didn't have it through an employer. I was on, is it Medicaid is the one not for old people, or is it Medicare? I can never remember.
I feel like CARE is old people, because
I feel like CARE is old people and Cade.
Not old, but people whose numbers are increasing.
The year and a half after I moved back from Scotland before I graduated, because I was just working on my PhD, I didn't have a job. And like, I was making like $200 a month or something. And so I was on Medicaid, which is hands down some of the best insurance I've ever had. It covered so much stuff that I didn't
know.
used to, but right. And I've had a variety of insurance, like good and bad insurance at different employers. And like, if we could just stop that roller coaster of an experience, mm-hmm. I would love that because yeah. I'd like to just be like, cool, my insurance is the same for all of my life. I don't have to keep right. being like, what do I have? What do I not have?
Yeah. And what am I going to pick? Because the bank, said bank, switched to quite a famous insurance company these days. for reasons. And just ask Taylor from today. She'll tell you.
It's going to be like our previous episode right. when we had Taylor.
Where I had to say murder is bad more times than I would ever have to say in my life. Anyway, so yeah, but like when I showed up to like my GP or my gyno or whatever, I didn't know how much it was going to cost.
Oh, like, God, yeah.
You don't get, I mean, you get some, but like, you never know what you're going to get billed. And like, so it could be any, and luckily, I mean, by the grace, Stuart can pay for it. But even then, you know, when he was in the hospital, Stuart got very sick a while back. That bill was.
Oh yeah.
A house payment plus four.
Like it's so much money going to the hospital. We recently, dying, guys. We changed insurances. Like, I think it shifted on January 1st. I don't really remember, but like, so I have a new health insurance right now, but I don't know, Leah, I don't know what it is because I haven't gotten my cards yet. I haven't gotten all that information and I can't remember. And then I got logged out of the thing that I could go and look at it and I couldn't get in.
Same purse.
It was a whole mess. And then the IT person got mad. And so I just haven't dealt with it. So somebody asked me recently, like, well, you should go to the doctor because I've had this cough. And I was like, I can't.
I don't know anything.
Because I don't know what I have.
I'm a baby. I don't know anything.
Right. And they're like, well, they can just look you up by your social security number. And I was like, but do you know how stressful it is to be like, I don't know what I'm going to pay. I don't know anything about what's going to happen if I go to the doctor. And this is just like a momentary thing. Like, there are lots of people out there who just never have. I didn't have health insurance for a while. Also, before Obamacare hit, when you could still have pre-existing conditions, do you know what was excluded for me? My knees. My knees were not insured because I have arthritis. And so if anything happened, if I broke my knee in a car accident, it would not be insured. If I fell down and broke my knee, not insured. Like, it didn't, first diabetes. It wasn't like, was big. We won't cover your arthritis medicine. It was like your knees are not insured.
Yeah. That was the same with Stuart, except it was diabetes. And they asked questions. They're like, so did you know you had diabetes before today? And he goes, am I alive? Like, yeah. Had a bit of an issue with that. Got it fixed. Yeah, I knew about it.
I'm aware. Yeah.
Like, at least with your knees, you could be like, what?
Right? Yeah. I mean, it was crazy because I got diagnosed with arthritis when I was like 23. And
is it from ballet?
It was from ballet, yeah. And so I did ballet for a long time. And then I had to get – that's when I went to grad school. So I got off of my employer's insurance and I got private insurance. Mm. And as I was like setting it up, they were like, it says here that you have arthritis in your knees. And I was like, and they're like, so your knees are excluded. Just blanket. Nope. No coverage for your knees.
In my head, to make it more frivolous, is that you just end at your knees. But they're not even that you end, there's a gap.
There's just a gap. That's how I always pictured it. Yeah. It's just like my knees are blanked out.
There's like a gap, and then the rest of your leg is there.
It was a wild time. I mean, and the idea that we might go back to having pre-excluded conditions, like, mm-hmm. no, let's not do that.
I mean, I think for me, I had to avoid it and then process it. And I needed to process it in chunks. And now I have to go about it tackling those chunks because that's how my brain – I can't go too, like, I think that this is the anxiety brain. I I can't be like, everything's wrong. The world's on fire. We're all going to fall in a pit. Christy knows this from chatting to me. It's probably super annoying. But every time people get really, it's because, well, there's background, but just trust me. And I have to be like, no, this is consumable. We can,
I mean,
consumable things.
And I think that's good and healthy is like, how do I cope with this? Because ultimately, and I think that what I really, I've been trying to work out, I got really, really angry. Obviously, I feel like we all know that I got really angry.
I think most of us did.
Most of us did. But like, I got really
angry. Probably most of them.
But I feel like what I can't do is just like sit and be ragey. Like, that's not productive, right? Same. You can be angry and you should be angry. You should have the appropriate emotions given events, right? Yep. But like, then I have to do something to work through it or to make myself functional. And like, knowing like, I need to make this in consumable bites so that I can deal with each thing in chunks. Also, I think that's good.
My text, this was me.
You were the little dog in the fire. Little dog
with the, this is fine.
This is fine.
The dog is me. These flames are all the text messages I was getting.
The screaming text messages that she was getting mostly from me.
So this is me being like, we can handle it, guys.
It's fine. We can do
it. Yeah. And then it's,
But like, I feel like one thing I am like intentionally wanting to do is to make sure that I keep looking for, like, this is going to sound super Mr. Rogers, but like looking for good people and good things to be happening, right? So like the bishop,
this is a perfect segue. I was about to say that.
I know. The bishop that did the sermon, that gave me an incredible amount of hope. I feel like knowing that someone was strong enough to stand up and give that sermon in front of them, like, gives me the strength to do similar things, to say, what are the moments where I can stand up and give this sermon or talk or do something in class. I changed
my profile picture to that woman because if on certain social media that everyone is also bad, and if it comes out that she's murdered someone or like killed puppies or like, I'm sorry. But in that moment when she was giving that sermon and just looking right at him, and he was so uncomfortable. And then later he was like, she was boring. She wasn't. She's the bishop of D.C. Like, she's also a woman who is a bishop of D.C. And that is, I bet, exceptionally hard. I bet she worked a really long time to get there.
I can only imagine how nervous and anxious she was feeling in that moment. Because no matter how strong you are, no matter how badass you are, you're standing in front of those people giving that sermon. You're going to be anxious about it, you know? And to know how she was feeling in that moment, and she still did it. And knowing too, because I saw somebody say, like, they're not going to listen. It's not going to change them. But you know who it is going to change? It's going to change somebody. Mm-hmm. Like, there's somebody out there who is going to hear that and think, you're right. Like, I need to adjust my thinking. I need to care more for the oppressed.
It was helpful for me as a person. And
all
of us who were sitting there being like, especially religious people who were watching this insanity happen, which under the guise of the Christian party. And I was like, none of this taking away stuff from the poor, like all these billionaires, all the stuff about civil rights, deporting like the refugees, but also illegal immigration. But you know what? We can handle the whole thing was just like,
I know.
And for her to talk to that with a Christian voice just gave me, and to be like, you know what? You should be better. She told me you should be better. If you want to say these things, you should be better. And oh my God.
Yeah. I mean,
what is her name? Do we know?
We do know. Hold on. I'm going to find it. I don't know. It gave me the kind of powerful uplift that I needed both in that moment, but also like as I'm trying to keep my phone away so I don't accidentally like blare.
This is my fight song.
Something. But like to have that, her reach may not have been the people standing in front of her, but her reach was still huge. You know, like she did.
When it wasn't just that she was talking to Trump and all the rest of them, it was just the fact that, like, because you're right, he won't listen. He doesn't care. He's a narcissist. He's going to think whatever he wants to think. But
Marion Budd.
Yes. Love you. Okay. Yes. Please don't have killed puppies in your former life. but yeah, so I think the fact that she was saying, like, she kind of almost went through all the things that he was going to do and said, this is not biblical.
This is not Christian. This is not Christian. How Jesus wants you to live. Don't do these things.
If you're Christian and you're celebrating this because you think it's a Christian victory, it's not.
It's not.
And here are the reasons why. And she freaking laid it out. Now, did it affect him signing a bunch of stuff? It absolutely did not. But you know what? For me, I'm going to be like, you know, this isn't my president. This isn't my Christianity. This isn't my theology. And here are the reasons why. Footnote, Bud.
It's just the standing up, doing what you can. She had a platform. She used the platform well. And this is what, like, I want to always remember is I don't have a huge platform, but I have a platform and I need to use it well. And I need to do what I can in the moments that I have. And I also need to remember that, like, we're not alone in doing that. Mm. We are not. We might be alone in that moment, or you might feel kind of that stress of, like, this is going to affect, you know, something about my life. But, like, there's support in that. There are people standing behind you or with you. And to just have that kind of even symbolic support of her, it was really, I appreciated it a lot. I also appreciated Ketanji Brown Jackson's caller that was, like, evoking both the symbolism from Africa of the conch shells or the little shells, but
Ginsburg.
Also, like, calling back to Ginsburg and her dissent caller and, like, getting in the cloud of witnesses. Essentially, like, if there's a cloud of witnesses is standing together fighting against these things, and, like, to be part of that and to see those people who are doing it publicly can give us the strength to do it in our own spaces too.
I saw a thing. It was beyond. When I saw that, because so for those of you who may not know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Supreme Court Justice, when she didn't agree with something that was going through, she'd wear this collar that was like, yeah, I dissent collar. And she famously says, I dissent. And actually, I think Brown, in one of her dissents, said, for the sake of democracy, I dissent, or something like that. And I was, more recently. Anyway, so it was so.
I'm looking this up too, because I just wanted to make sure I got the cowrie shells. That was it. I was like, conch shells is not right. The cowrie shells that are, they're supposed to. Oh gosh. Ancient African cultures that protect against evil, basically, is what they are.
I saw someone say, I'm going to become ungovernable. And I thought that was interesting. But I don't think that's how I'm going to be. I think I'm going to be uncomfortable. I want to be more uncomfortable than ungovernable. Like,
yeah, I agree. I feel like because and we talked about this a little bit when we were talking about Wicked too. I feel like we make it too big. Like we say, like, I'm going to do these huge, impressive feats of resistance. And then either we don't have the opportunities to, or like that's a huge thing and you get scared, which is fair. But, like, think about the small ways that you can become uncomfortable for the right reasons. You know, like, what are the kinds of things you can do in the little moments instead of making it a huge thing? Just how can you stand up for somebody or do the things that you can do in your actual life instead of dreaming up those, like, big.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because ungovernable to me sounds like you're just going to start rioting in the streets all the time. And, like, while.
Which, based on, you know, the person who told me this, would be funny.
Like, I love a good riot in the streets, but, like, that's not going to happen every day. So what can you do that's maybe a bit more
day-to-day? I think if you're wondering what that might look like, I have no affiliation other than having looked at some of their stuff, but it seems like the ACLU is doing quite a bit of stuff already out the gate.
Yeah.
The American Civil Liberties Union, and they're on Instagram, or they're on the World Wide Web, or, you know, they have brick and mortar.
I mean, there are plenty of places where we can, like, kind of join up people who know how to do the things better than we do.
Yeah.
Local and ones or big ones.
Yeah.
Whatever you can find, just like find those moments where you can, like, even if it's just like, you know, mailing cards or licking envelopes. Or something.
Say not my Presta.
Yeah. Like,
I may or may not.
Being brave enough to walk around in your area and say, like, I'm not going to stand up or I'm not going to sit back while bad things are happening to people in front of me, you know, like.
And always make it clear that you don't, you know, there's that, the, I will botch it. So I'm not, there is a quote that's very adjacent to this from Martin Luther King Jr. But anyway, that you don't participate. I mean, you can participate in the system, but always talk about how. Because you don't want to go to jail or whatever. But like,
oh, yeah.
Always say, like, I do not agree with this. Like,
yeah. Is it the don't obey in advance? Is that the one you're talking about?
No, it's that big long one that I've.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
But it's just saying that, like, we don't have to accept these systems of evil. We can, you know, and if you don't want to participate in them, you know, you don't. Now, do I still have to follow and obey laws of the land if I don't want to go to jail? Yeah, sure. It's not that so much. But if you really don't want to support, you know, some of these people who are doing Nazis, don't buy from them. And I don't need to let, or don't give them any opportunity. Don't whatever. Don't do anything to help them.
Don't give them more oxygen than they already have. I think that's one of the things too that I'm like really intentionally trying to do is like, I don't want to give it more oxygen than it already has.
We gave it quite a bit. We're almost at the end.
I know. I was gonna say, today I feel like we had to. Like,
It's like when we started with the election and then we were like, you know what, David Lynch, I don't even want to put him on a podcast with this kind of stuff.
So no, we're saving that for next week. That's,
yeah, we're definitely.
Guys, we have a really good next week episode already lined up in our heads because we were going to do it today, but
forward palate cleanser.
Yeah. Like,
and will we be,
but I do feel
January by then? I don't think so.
You know, it'll be close. I don't know. I do feel like, like saying like, hey, here's where we're taking a stand as a podcast. We have followers. This is the other thing. Like, we do have a platform here with the podcast and I feel a sense of responsibility for that. And I do feel like we need to like clearly note how we're dealing, but also like to give you all the kind of support and power that we got from Bud and from, good Lord. Now I can't remember the order of her name.
She and I have a look and I was like, I'm going to save you, but I don't know how. You got to give me more.
Jackson. I was like, wait, which one comes first? God, you guys, I've been teaching all day and it wrecks you, but
NA seltzers are getting me.
To be able to like give support where we can for what y'all are doing. And two, I feel like if there's stuff that you guys are doing that we can support and shout out on the podcast, like please let us know so that we can do that. Cause we all got a band together in these dark times.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, and if you have a podcast, maybe that's just starting and you're like, hey, I want to be on podcasts. Like,
yeah.
Send us a message on Instagram. I don't know.
We're much better at Instagram than we are any other platform, really. Yeah. So we're going to keep that one.
Well, you know what? I actually kept Facebook because of something you said, which was about not leaving platforms because they become accessible. I think I quoted you on that.
You know, I don't want to take credit for that because that was actually our friend of the podcast and previous guest, Columba, posted about this on Facebook. And he had said, you know, and I if you feel like you need to leave certain platforms like Facebook or whatever, do what you need to do to feel correct in your soul. I don't want it to become a cesspool. I don't want to hand over these places. I don't want all of the town squares to just be for one certain talking point. And the unfortunate thing is that we don't have a lot of spaces. There's not a big competing app that aligns with all of my principles that I can just be like, I'll just go over there and have these conversations.
Right.
But I also, I don't want to leave people, I do feel like where we can speak truth to power, we should. And so I thought long and hard about it, but I ultimately, I mean, you and I both got off of Twitter a while ago. And
yeah, that to me was I didn't really feel that one in my soul anyway.
No, I feel like that was just like jumping off of the poisoned and sinking ship.
And like, when they gave an alternative, I was like, great, that's what I'll do.
Yeah. Awesome. Blue Sky is great. Yeah. We're both on Blue Sky, so you can follow us both there, our respective names. But
I've not tweeted. Can we still say tweeted since he's not Twitter? He was X. I'm going to still say tweet.
I think the kids say skeet. Huh? They call it skeeting on Blue Sky, which I think sounds stupid.
Doesn't that have a history that?
It does.
Let's talk about that off camera. I remember Brat from the early 2000s.
Right? Okay. Yeah. So I feel like, again, like the things we can do, we should do in our spaces the ways that we can. And that's what you and I are going to do.
Well, Christy, I think.
In the power of us.
We are. Again, I always feel like people. Yeah, I don't want anyone to think that I'm a conservative. I don't think they would. But like, I just like strategy. I want a strategy. I need a plan.
Strategy makes sense. I think
that's a strategy.
We've mentioned this before. I tend to lead with rage, and you tend to lead with more of a practical, okay, but what should we do? And I'm like, punch them. And you're like, we can't punch all of them.
There's too many. And also jail. But
it's good to have someone rational.
Christy has more longevity in the fight than me, though. I start with strategy and then I peter out. But
the rage keeps coming back.
And also I think the rage is just going to be daily now. So I think if you keep my feet to the fire, I'll keep going. But like I think
I'm just enraged frequently enough.
That's okay. Please, and then tell me what I should also be enraged about, and I will be enraged too. But also, there's someone who told me about our podcast at beer camp. They were like, you know what? Every time you and Christy say, respectively, we'll say, well, I kind of disagree. She was like, I hold my breath.
That's too funny.
And then she went, but then y'all always just talk about it and you get over it. And I'm like, or you just are like, okay, that's fine. And I was like, that's because we're actually friends.
That's because we're actually friends so we can. But also I think like, I believe this, the depths of my soul, if you can't disagree and then talk it through, like we're doomed as a people.
That's like a basic human. But
I
think we got here for a reason. And part of it is that we've lost that ability in a way.
Yeah. I think we need to be able to talk through why we disagree about things. And I think we need to be able to do it with a genuine like desire to understand the other side. And this is what you were saying earlier, but like understand the real things of what's going on and not just yell the talking points at each other back and forth. Like if there's a genuine, like we want to come to an understanding, then disagreement can be a really good way to grow and like learn. But if you're like, I'm just going to yell the same thing at you over and over, I'm just going to walk away. Like that's not a real disagreement.
And I think the other side is this, I don't think we can out-logic each other on this one, because even with things that feel quite straightforward, like, you know, Nazis are bad, because I think that there's always counters, and I did some mediation work whenever I was in Northern Ireland. The logic, the points to points, it just doesn't work, because then someone comes up with like I really do think the key is one for people to have to suffer a little bit. You got to kind of be in the slot, you know, and they will under the system. Yeah. A lot of people who voted for him. And I also think back to the Obama point, I think is we need someone who has the thinkers and the feelers and the emotions on both sides, but they can also just inspire. You know, he flipped North Carolina. He flipped states. The reason North Carolina is considered a flip state is because of Obama. Like I think he did things people didn't think. And so we just need someone like that.
There's a connection. You know, like sometimes you look at someone and you feel like they're looking back at you. Mm. And I don't mean like you and me, because like obviously we are, but like. Like you look at like a celebrity or someone well known and you feel seen by that person.
Right.
I feel like he was able to do that in a really impactful way, you know? I'm not saying like we need to, like, I don't think it would work to run exactly the same campaign as Obama in 2008, but like there's a magic there that needs to be found again. Yeah. And I do think I have like people in mind that I'm like, this person has it and this person has it. But whether or not the machine of the country will let those people run, I don't know. So,
yeah. No, I mean, I think that's right. And I think that also, this is speculation, I think that voting block that you talked about that did vote for Trump, I think some of them are these people that he talks to that come to the rallies. And then I think there, people talk about the silent majority. I think there is a silent bridge of people who are kind of in between. And that if you can get the right amount of feeling, or you can get the right amount of whatever hits their sweet spot, that you could get them to. And I think that's what happened in the Obama years, is that you got those people over, more yeah. so in the first term, clearly. But like, you know, so I think there are those folks, and I think that's my speculation about how
yeah. we fix
it. Make the grievance. Well, they're going to make the grievances happen already. They're doing it. So enjoy yeah. the non-capped, you know, stuff that's supposed to keep us alive. That pisses me right the heck off.
I mean, that blows my mind. But well, like I mean, I feel like this is an ongoing kind of thing, but we're not going to like let ourselves live in this state of despair. We're going to look for those moments of joy and support and power. And we're going to go with those things, and we're going to fight the good fight, and we're going to make the good trouble, and right. we're going to speak truth to power and all of that kind of
and
stuff.
And on days we're tired, we're going to wear a really inflammatory t-shirt.
Yes.
I'm speaking
yes.
for myself. Okay, I'm going to conclude it now, if that's okay. But also, like, yes. I'm looking at my cat. I have a black cat. And if you notice, I can't figure out what's happening with him. Like, it almost looks like he's looking at me, but it's not his eyeballs. And so when I kept taking my glasses on and off, because we joke about Salem, because he's a black cat and we don't really know. Like, there's a thing I'm going to send you that's going to look like his eyeballs are looking at you. Those are not his eyeballs. And I'm not sure what's happening with
last night when
where his body is.
I was talking to good friend Josh Patterson, and I said that sometimes I think that there are just ghosts running around.
Wow. That came from not drinking as well. Yeah, Chrissy's going to be on Josh's podcast, Emojelicals.
Emojelicals. It's
we'll advertise it. I yeah. was just on Systematic Ecology, and we put that up. Yes. And, you know, these are all fun distraction links
yep.
that we're putting up.
Good times.
We will not be talking. We did not, well, maybe mention politics a little in my
book. We didn't mean to talk about politics this whole time, but it happened. And next podcast is going to be light and joyful and beautiful, and we're going to talk about beautiful things.
We are. I have my book coming up, and I'm still requesting people who know people or who might have opportunities for me to interview people, because
yes.
Who have been through the conversion therapy experience, or maybe even were just adjacent to it. Like, I would even, by adjacent, I don't necessarily mean friends, but maybe parents that had to make the decision.
Parents, yeah, okay.
I'd be interested in that.
Okay, yeah. Like, yeah, shoot us messages or direct emails. We can, in the link there's email address,
because otherwise I'm gonna have to go to the streets and just start being like, did you go through conversion therapy? Could you talk to me, please? I feel like it's gonna be a very niche situation.
It's gonna be a very niche situation. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that book. Also, Leah's book, and we mentioned it before, but her book is out, Bad Theology in a Time of COVID. It is a pricey one, but it is worth it. It's a really good book. But we have
the Donald Trump level book right
now. We have the link coming up for you on that one too, and other good stuff. So keep, you know, keep here, be here. We're gonna be here. It's gonna be great.
We're gonna be here. We're your aunties. We're here for you. Yeah. And if we disagree, it's okay, because we're still gonna love you. It's okay.
Like, we were twin flames born from hell, so we're gonna sometimes yell at each other.
She goes, I held my breath, and then y'all just go on and talk about it. And I was like, yeah, that's how people worked before.
That's good. I think that we are going to continue to model that.
We are. So healthy conversation. Also, yeah. here's an area of disagreement, but funny. Next week is Groundhog Day.
Chris, is it next week?
It's next Wednesday. Yeah.
I thought it was in February. Good Lord. Geez.
Am I wrong?
No, I believe you.
Because I was looking at what happens next week for exciting things. Shoot, it is February 2nd. Dang it. Wait, what is January? January 29th is something.
Lunar New Year is January
20th. I hate these calendars. Just click on the 29th and tell me it doesn't pop up and say Groundhog Day up there.
No, it's Lunar New Year. But you know what? Groundhog Day is not on my phone at all. So
it's right here. It's look at this.
I can't see that. That's okay. Y'all.
Well, anyway. So point being.
Everyone's going to be so excited when we're drinking again.
We're not. We're really not. This is us, sadly, very sad. Not sad. We are doing the good thing.
It's February 2nd.
My liver was very happy. Okay, February 2nd. What do you, are we getting more winter or more summer?
I'm going to say we're getting more winter. It's based off of how cold I am right now.
Well, Christy, I disagree. You disagree. And honestly, I'm freaking pissed.
I hate you.
Burn it to the ground. Nothing is fine. My job was wrong. I'm going to go because I think when it's really, really, really cold, uh-huh. I like to think that's an indication that it's short-lived.
So okay.
I'm going to go. Nah, I have no science for that. I have desperation and hope and my electricity bill.
Y'all, I'm going to make her put a picture up of her electric cape because it is.
Oh, shoot. I got to put it back on.
Fantastic. Thank you for joining us for this Theology on the Rocks.
We love you. We'll be back. Here for you.
We're here for you. You're here for us. It's a family.
We got you.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.